Got a ping on the salvage yard, Kale said, squinting at the control console. About an hour ahead. I think this is an easy repair. Locke paced for most of the next hour, with the exception of a bit where her message crystal pinged. Then she listened to her boyfriend mention that the destruction of the Forge of the Ancients was making waves, and someone might want an investigation. Then she paced some more, spinning her new cane and getting the feel for its balance. "Hey, Captain!" Kale said as she passed by. "You know you can actually give people coins in order to legally purchase a sword?" Locke grinned. "Why would anyone ever do that when the bad guys keep giving up theirs?" Kale's voice went slightly quieter, not completely a whisper, but low enough they wouldn't carry. "You know, if even Pyvik is saying that maybe tipping your hand about being alive is dangerous." Locke turned to the railing and looked down at the slow meandering of the world below. "He said no such thing." "I'm sorry, you're right," said Kale. "I am incapable of reading inflection and inferring someone's intent like a normal human adult. Would you like me to use my illusion magic to do something impressive?"
"I can hear you," Heslow called over.
"We weren't going to draw a real target without doing something to get their attention," Locke said. "I think blowing up the place where they make the hunters might have done it."
"We had to be sure."
Locke looked over at Kale. "We don't know when the ancients are supposed to return. We don't know how much time we have. We needed a target, and we needed it now."
"And it sounds like we've got one," Kale said, jerking his head over toward Desidora,
who sat near the back of the ship surrounded by a ring of silver skulls and ropes that had for some reason become glittering chains.
"But so do they, Captain."
Now he did whisper.
"They aren't Silliston, who didn't even know who you were until we had our hands in his pockets. They aren't the elf, who leaves smug little poems and plays thief against thief with you. They knew everybody's names, Captain."
"So they know how we work," Locke said. "We change our play, they move just like we want them to."
"Not what I mean."
Kale looked over from the console and gave Locke a hard look.
"What's the first thing you taught me when I joined the scouting unit?"
"Fight the enemy, not their people." And then Locke got it.
"Ah. Westyke was never a scout, so I'm guessing his team doesn't follow that one. And some of us have family that didn't try to kill us recently," Kale said. "Just a thought."
"Noted." Locke turned away.
"Thanks. So what'll you pay me for?"
They landed at the salvage yard not long after. It wasn't so much a place of business as a place where airships got dragged or dropped, and there was a notable absence of official Republic inspectors and licensing agents.
"I know where they are," Desidora said as they touched down.
The deck slid back to its normal colour, and the chains turned back into ropes. A moment later, her hair and robes did the same.
"Kale, you and Hessler are on repairs."
Locke looked over.
"We're on the clock. If throwing money gets us in the air faster, make it happen."
"I'll have us in the air in 91 seconds or less," Kale said.
"It was an example," Hessler said irately.
"Sorry, it's a thing now, Hessler."
"Also, fewer."
The two headed down the gangplank toward the men with grimy work clothes and speculative expressions, and Locke turned back to Desidora.
"What have you got?" "Pay direction and distance and feel," Desidora said with a little shrug. "They're at the mining center in Sunrise Canyon."
"Damn," Tern said. Locke looked over and shot her an eyebrow.
"We attempted to rob it once," Icy said,
without opening his eyes or moving from his twisted pain shape.
"Really?"
Desidora sounded impressed.
"Pure-grade crystals, unprocessed and ready for energy templates. That's like a skeleton key for half the crystal-based security systems in the Republic."
Tern sighed wistfully.
"Sadly, skeleton keys are very well guarded," Icy said. "The facility itself, along with interior access to the processing wing, was restricted with an aura-coded key that never left the facility."
Desidora hummed thoughtfully.
"Is it coded to a living aura, or just a unique random energy signature?"
"The latter, I think," Tern said. "You think your Death Priestess thing would let you dupe the aura?"
If it isn't the aura of a living creature, you could get me inside, and I could...
Ah, but wait, Tern cut in. Crystal mine. Ambient magical energy like crazy. You ever walk around carpeted floor in fuzzy socks and then shake hands with someone and zap?
She wiggled her fingers.
Imagine that, but you use magic of any kind and then stuff explodes.
Tessadora gave Tern a hurt look.
That is nothing like fuzzy socks.
The highest security area had very little information, even on the maps we procured, Icy said. But the main processing center sits above it. It appears to be a mine that was abandoned due to magical build-up in the crystals, listed as deadly to any living creature who went inside.
We bought drinks for a few miners who said they saw golems tromping around in that direction once or twice, Tern added.
If a golem can survive the magical energy, I can survive it, Tessadora said confidently. Tern nodded.
Just don't wear fuzzy socks.
Kale and Hassler came back up onto the deck, accompanied by a few surly men, who shot the women the speculative weasel look every woman learns to take as a warning sign.
Control consoles over here, Kale said brightly,
as though men who made their living illegally outfitting airships might not know where the control console of a common airship model might be located.
You're her, the one in charge.
One of them, a big man with a long wrench in one hand, said to Locke. At Locke's nod, the man rubbed his neck, squinting.
Expensive, but we'll have you back in the air soon enough. Always bringing up the new ward crystals now.
Locke nodded as several more men came up the gangplank, carrying large blanket-wrapped bundles.
Glad to have you out here, Locke said. Surprised you get much business in the middle of nowhere.
Given the relative location between port cities, Hassler started,
and then stopped when Kale elbowed him.
Like the quiet, the airship leader said, as his men filed onto the deck. Just us and the whisper of the balloons.
All these old balloons and nobody else,
Tern said brightly, gesturing with one hand and casually reaching into a concealed side pocket of her utility skirt with the other.
I can't imagine what it's like. I mean, after a while, I think I'd start talking with the wind demons inside those balloons.
In fact, prolonged exposure to unwarded balloons can...
Hassler started, and then stopped when Kale elbowed him again.
You're her,
the leader of the salvagers said to Locke.
The one the demons talk about.
Locke leaned on her walking stick, hands low, clearly not starting a fight.
And what do the demons say about me?
Say you killed them, said the leader,
and he was gripping his wrench tightly now.
Say you've got some charm that makes it hard for them to find you, but they haven't forgot.
Locke didn't touch, look at, or think about the demon ward necklace Hassler and Isadora had made for her.
The demons ought to get over what happened, she said.
Can't,
said the leader, and as he stepped forward, his men unwrapped the blankets and reached for the weapons concealed inside.
Just whisper and whisper until it's all a man can hear.
The hook of Locke's walking stick wrapped around the leader's arm and snapped tight. Locke stepped in, locked his arm at the elbow as his wrench fell to the deck and slammed him into the railing. As he grunted, she kicked the back of his leg, shifted her grip to punch him behind the ear, locked the hook behind his neck, and slammed him face first to the deck. The other salvagers paused, partially because Locke had put their leader down. Tern's crossbow had also come out, aimed toward the nearest salvager at crotch level. The crackling, illusionary eldritch fire sprouting from Hessler's hand was also a factor in their hesitation, along with Desidora's skin turning bone white as she pointed at one of the men with darkness slithering between her fingers.
If you want to talk with demons, Locke said to the man face first on the ground, held in place by the stick on the back of his neck and her knee on his spine. You can pass on a message for me.
Remind Jell that coming after me has gotten her arrested, killed, turned into a demon, and smashed into a wall at high speed. She wants to come after me again. That's on her. Now, are we doing business or not?
Gonna kill you, the leader said to the floorboards. Gonna kill you, Locke, for what you did. Can't die, can't do anything. All I can do is wait and hate and... Arrogant apple, babbling brook, creeping cat,
he finished suddenly, and then went limp.
It's about time, Kale said. I'd rather the voices in people's heads were voices from our team.
Ululenia landed on the deck, shifting from falcon into human shape, her horn blazing. His mind was rotten, trunk chewed by insects until only the husk remained. She looked to the other salvagers. Their minds are not broken yet. We might not have to strip them and peel their skin off while reciting the names of everyone they have ever had sex with and telling them what that person was really thinking about at the time until the Death Priestess snuffs out their souls like a cheap tallow candle. Hypothetically, Tern added.
So, Locke said, standing up and gesturing at the nearest salvager with her walking stick. About those ward crystals.
They were back in the air an hour later.
So, Locke said to the team, while Kale put them on course. We need a plan for the mine at Sunrise Canyon.
Are we not discussing what just occurred?
Icy asked, from where he was helping Kale with the rigging.
Shell holding a grudge isn't new information.
Locke pulled out the necklace.
Hessler and Desidora have got it handled for now. I can deal with it once we've hit the mine. And Ululenia suddenly getting really good at scaring people, Kale added.
As the wolf bears its fangs so that it need not draw blood, so we convince the fools to deal with us once Little One defeated their master.
Ululenia shrugged.
I did nothing.
And as long as it stays that way, Locke said, then we concentrate on the mine.
I was thinking about that, Desidora said. Tern, you said the aura-coded key never leaves the mine.
Does the supervisor keep it on him?
If he has held it for long enough, its aura would have mingled with his own, and we could find him outside the mine and copy that.
How long is long enough? Tern asked.
The current supervisor has had this position for less than a year,
Icy added.
His predecessor had held the job for many years before dying to some sort of fairy creature that lived in the canyon.
It was a big scandal in the guild, Tern said. Looked like he was smuggling crystals out of the mine to sell, and the deal went sour, and he got ripped up.
She coughed.
It was actually what gave us the idea to break in.
Less than a year, and there will be no imprint on his soul, Desidora said, frowning.
Face time, then, Kale said, still adjusting the controls. I'll get a job at the mine, work my way in. I'm still not loving the idea of getting through however many levels of security they've got, though. Any other entrance to the mine?
Not that we found, Icy said. And we considered the same solution.
Icy really didn't like my idea of a small, controlled explosion opening up a mine to the surface and giving us an alternate way in, Tern added.
I did not, no.
So this is a long job, Locke said, frowning. Some of us get hired at the processing center, some of us get hired as miners. We look for gaps and figure out a non-magical solution that gets us into the high security area and shuts down whatever the ancients are trying to do, ideally before they come back.
Or we wait for Gil's power to show himself, Desidora said. And we take him.
The deck around her went black again.
None of us can handle Gil's power in a fight, Diz, Kale said from the control console.
He is a soul in a weapon.
Desidora smiled thinly, her lips a black slash against chalk-white skin.
Perhaps I can pull it out.
He betrayed all of us, Locke said firmly. And if we need to stop him for our plan to work, we do it. That said, we're not blowing the plan because anyone is angry about getting played by a magic hammer.
Desidora glared, then nodded. Her skin regained its healthy blush before she turned away.
Captain, Kale said suddenly. I've got a ship incoming. Fast. Right at us.
Everyone stood up and got their weapons ready again, which turned out to be entirely necessary, as a ship that was just a dot in the sky and then a vague non-airship shape quite rapidly grew into a slim wooden wand from which long narrow leaves grew like great living sail wings. It was a tree ship, small and built for speed. And if Locke were any judge, there were only a few people with the wealth and access to a ship like that who would have any business contacting her. Her guess proved right when the tree ship came to a relative stop, matching their speed, and a familiar elven shape climbed up from below decks.
Hey, Ethel, Kale called over. Always a pleasure. Irafella Fleolon did not smile.
There are messages waiting for you at every major city, but the dragon believed that the urgency necessitated my coming directly.
He found something about the ancients, Locke said, at the same time that Ululenia said.
Dairy?
Irithella Thleolon nodded grimly.
You're both right. It seems the boy, erstwhile champion of Dawn and my employer's current lover, is tied to the ancients even more directly than his little prophecy would have suggested. In order to return to this world, the ancients need a very specific sacrifice, one which they captured en route to the relative safety of the Empire.
No. Leaves suddenly sprouted from the railings, then went golden and fell dead to the deck. Ululenia didn't even seem to notice.
No. Yes, little virgin Bane.
Now Irithella Fleolon did smile.
It's not just the world being threatened with destruction and enslavement, and my people being reduced to soulless husks. Now you might lose the young man who refused to sleep with you.
Do you know where he's being held? Locke asked. Irithella Fleolon nodded.
A large mining facility in the Sunrise Canyon. It seems that's where the gate from our world to theirs is located.
Locke gripped her walking stick and turned to the others. All right, new plan.